to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. Thank you for joining us. I am your host, as always, Jimbo Fisher. Joining me this week is, of course, the one, the only, Brandy Darsh.
Hello everybody, it's glad to be back for another exciting episode of the Gym Podcast. And we also have a special guest, Saxo Steve, who is live. We have the first ever live recording of the Gym Podcast from a college campus for college game, for a college game day. Is that right?
That may be right, guys. I am here in sunny Stillwater, Oklahoma, getting ready for Saturday's 4 p.m. Eastern tilt, West Virginia at Oklahoma State.
Just incredible.
That's gonna be exciting.
Steve, I have so many questions. I think the people have so many questions for you. You're such a character, you know, on CFB court and whatnot. I got to know, just like rough estimate, how many games do you travel to in a given year?
So this year I'm going to 13 total games. I've got 11 WVU games. I'm going to skip the Texas Tech game because it's at Texas Tech 2 days after Thanksgiving.
Wow.
But this is one of those special years. We have two bye weeks. So this past week was our first bye. I went to TCU at Kansas in Arrowhead, since Kansas does not actually have a stadium this year. And the first Saturday in November, we have our second bye. I will be at Florida, Georgia.
Oh, my.
And then if we make a bowl game, we'll see. I might try. But this WVU OSU game will be my 100th college football game.
Get out.
Nice.
Get out. That's, yeah. Man, I got to count now.
Track.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had
four, I was going to say.
I had 4 years of band that really pumped those numbers up.
Of course.
I was going to say, my personal goal is I just want to visit every SEC stadium eventually. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of working my way there. But you've done a lot more traveling than I have for this. So hats off.
I have. And I'm still not even halfway to every Big 12 stadium.
Oh, man.
Well,
They keep adding.
You're the far away in West Virginia. They added, like, you're the furthest member away, just kind of, like, out there. So
it's true. Unreal.
All right. So we do. You know I have to go ahead and open the show with the Alabama-Georgia game, right? You know this has to happen. Can I just be honest with you guys? Like, I hope. I say this in the nicest, best way possible. I hope for once in your lives, you get to experience what I experienced Saturday, that feeling.
It won't happen.
Just how great that feeling was.
I mean,
just watching your team dominate what's supposed to be the best team in college football and the atmosphere. Oh, my goodness. So I'm actually going to turn this to a little bit of a monologue. Jimbo, okay. One of the biggest things we keep talking about is how you can tell how good a player is by how cool they look.
Yeah, Camel.
Right?
Yeah.
Ryan Williams. Williams looks cool playing football. When he caught the game winning touchdown pass, at 2:26 left in the game. Second and 26. He caught it at 2:26 left in the game. He split two of the best veteran defenders in the game.
It was cool.
17 years old.
It was cool.
That's an amazing spin move. He takes his mouth guard out before he even hits the end zone.
Cool.
And then right as the lights go down and turn that dark crimson, he hits him with a Dirty Bird, a dance from the 90s, a full 20 years before he was born.
Yep. Randy, hey.
It was insane.
It was cool. And the thing is, I was asleep for all of this. I mean, I didn't see those till the day after. And it was still cool. I think that says a lot.
I'm not going to go too much into how that happened. It was basically we let off the gas and we played with our food a little bit. I mean, just being honest, like, Georgia's a great team. We took advantage of it, but that's kind of on us. Like, we allowed them to catch the ball and gave them some soft cushions as long as we can guarantee we could tackle them in bounds kind of thing.
Prevent,
and that led to some scores.
Defense. Yeah, tough.
Yeah.
Steve, did you watch the game? Because generally, I was asleep in that second half. I want to hear a neutral perspective.
I watched the first bit, and then I turned it off at 28-0 and was watching some other games.
Yeah.
And then I had to come back. And so, I saw Ryan Williams. I saw Carson Beck lead the comeback. Beautiful pass. And then just the next play was Ryan Williams. Yeah. And then
Just
what a game. What a game.
I actually watched it. I know a lot of people turned it off. That's the vibe I'm getting. So I'll go ahead and say the padlock. I know Josh Pate loves this term, the padlock. The key stat in this and how this happened is Georgia was seven for seven on fourth down conversions. And those were not like fourth and ones. They were consistently going for every drive, every fourth down because they had to. And they kept getting them. And that's what kept those drives alive. It's easier to like march down the field when you have four downs to do instead of three.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just reality. But I mean, they hit them. So that is what it is.
Congrats on the big win, Randy. I mean, I think at this point it's pretty clear Bama's. I don't even know if it's like that interesting to talk about like. Who's going to win the national championship or whatever. It's just whatever. Like,
Stop. You're not you know jinxing this, bro. You're not doing it.
But what I am interested in, though, is just kind of like the greater college football picture here. Are there any games from this last weekend we also want to comment on? I mean, for what it's worth, I want to hear about this game you went to, Saxo Steve. You said you went to Arrowhead this weekend?
Yeah, I went to Arrowhead. So we had TCU, Kansas. TCU able to pull it out. Kansas 1-4.
Ouch.
They need to fire their new offensive coordinator directly into the sun is my note here. They can't score the way that they need to score. It's just bad out in Lawrence or in Kansas City, as it were. But I don't know, the Lance Leipold thing, we'll see. He did get them at least to where they're upset about 1-4.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's
definitely a pretty they're like, bad. Oh, we're 1-4. We won one. So
what's wild is Kansas, despite being 1-4, I'm looking at their losses now. I mean, they lost to TCU by 11 points. But before that, I mean, they lost to your, West Virginia, 32-28, UNLV, 23-20, Illinois, 23-17. It's like they've lost a lot of close games, I guess you could say, you know. So like.
Yeah, well, it's those one score games. You got to. Yeah. You know, it's almost like turnover luck. It's some years you're good, some years you're not. Sometimes you're Scott Frost in one score games.
True. That's Kansas
this year. Very true. I was going to ask, as the resident Big 12 fan, the Big 12 is always one of those conferences that very much is, it's a mixed bag and there's so much variety in it. It's a mess. But now the Big 12 championship game winner is going to be guaranteed a playoff spot. I was wondering if you had, based on what you've seen.
Are we sure?
It's just the top four conference champs.
Isn't it the top five get?
I think it's top five.
The top five get in. The top five don't get the buys, but the top five get in, right?
Yeah.
The top four get the buys.
They'll be good.
With UNLV is ranked right now.
True.
And they're only, I think, 9 spots behind Iowa State, our top-ranked Big 12 school right now.
Really?
Well, I was going to ask, based on what you've seen from the Big 12, who do you think is really going to have a chance, the best chance to pull it out and get that playoff spot?
Kansas State, Iowa State. I can't say Utah right now.
No.
After they lost to Arizona.
Yeah, that's rough.
Kansas State whomped on Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. And I mean, still, even West Virginia is technically in there.
Hey.
You could go I don't want to go Arizona, but you could say, God, there's about 18. Texas Tech could be
maybe
making noise. There's legitimately about 10 schools that basically anyone but Houston who has not scored in 2 games.
There's one team in particular you're leaving out that I'm very interested to see. Just, it could happen. Oh, and no. I already know there's going to be a total meltdown if it happens.
No.
Coach Prime and the Buffaloes.
No.
But no, it actually is a real possibility because they play Kansas State this upcoming week. And that's going to do a lot for kind of clearing up the Big 12 picture. Just to see what happens. Because if they beat Kansas State is pretty much done at that point.
If is doing a lot of carrying there, Randy. If is doing a lot of carrying.
It's a home game. It's a home game at 9.
Yeah, 10:15 Eastern.
Really?
Yeah, 10:15 Eastern.
Oh, my God.
It's like a super night game. Advanced night game.
I'll be asleep before that starts. That's going to be fun. Wow. Any other games this weekend we want to highlight? I mean, I could talk about my beloved Badgers. I could talk about that.
Real quick on that one, I'll just say, holy crap, Alex Grinch sucked. They kind of have it. They have a semblance of a defense now.
It's sad
enough to win some games.
Yeah,
at least
it's sad to me that we have Alex Grinch now as our DB coach.
I don't know why Lincoln Riley held on to it for so long. He's so obviously mediocre at best.
I think he had one good year in Washington State and just held on to that for 5 years.
I think USC, you know, at this point, they might be a fringe playoff team, which is kind of weird to say. It's obviously, you know, there's a lot of season left here, but they've shown flashes where they look really good. Like, they have talent for sure. I think for them, it's just a matter of can they, you know, tough it through this tough schedule and find a way to probably not drop more than one more game for the rest of the season. So,
do you think USC kind of suffers from, I know this is going to sound biased from based on where we're from, but has like a West Coast problem? 100%. You know what I mean?
100%.
You know how people on the West Coast are so chill?
100%. It's always been the problem.
Yeah,
it's,
all those, everybody's asleep.
It's weird though, right? Because like we're kind of in this NIL era now, and like you could argue everywhere kind of suffers this problem to an extent. You know, and in a way, maybe USC is better equipped because, like, they're so used to this. They're so used to, like, treating their players like superstar Hollywood athletes. You know what I mean?
It's like the West Coast vibe where they just are like, I'm chill, bro.
They're
and
chill.
They don't value. I'm not saying they don't work hard, but, like, it's a totally different vibe than, like, the Midwestern guys.
Look up Miller Moss. Oh, yeah. Look up their quarterback, Miller Moss, and look at a photo of Miller Moss. Okay. He looks like Neil Patrick Harris, kind of. Am I the only one seeing this?
I see it. He looks like his parents are doctors.
And like it's weird. It's like Lincoln Riley. It's like, is he hot? I don't know. You know? And like that plays a role in all
his
this.
His dad owns a dealership, yeah.
But We'll see. I think that's kind of where I'm at with USC. We'll see. Because they looked bad in the first half, for what it's worth, man. We had them on the ropes in the first half, and then second half, they're like, oh, yeah, we're a good team. I guess we'll win. Yeah. So
the only other game I wanted to bring up
was
going to be the Auburn-Oklahoma game. I don't have much to say about
it. Nothing to say about Auburn.
Other than it was funny.
I didn't watch it. What happened? Like, just, like, what happened there? Did they blow
a lead? Auburn's quarterback, Peyton Thorne, actually looked competent for most of the game. But they had this problem where they have a lot of turnovers, throw a lot of picks, fumble it all the time. Mm-hmm. And they had multiple turnovers at the worst possible times, including a game-losing pick six. Ooh. But really, all they had to do was not turn the ball over.
Right. Man. Q-freeze.
Okay. I've got a few games I'll quickly mention here.
Okay.
Virginia Tech Miami from Friday night.
Yeah. Oh my god. What a game.
Needed a 5 minute review actually for an incomplete Hail Mary to win that game Miami needed.
Yeah.
I'm declaring them fraudulent.
Yeah.
Miami is back. Fraudulent.
Yeah.
And I don't know who they're going to lose to, but they're going to lose to somebody. And it's going to be funny.
I hate to agree,
yeah, but I agree.
I think we've been hyping up Miami this whole year, but after that, it's just like,
they're one of those fun teams to watch, man. They're fun to watch when they're good, so that's really all that's my investment.
The ACC's kind of bad, and it's just like somebody has to win, so.
Yeah. It's probably going to be Clemson, and then, I think.
But how about Kentucky actually completing an upset?
Yes! Hey!
Beating up Ole Miss.
Congrats to Kentucky.
Kentucky has a history of having a very tough offensive and defensive line. And I know it's Kentucky, right? But they do actually really play into having those strong lines. It's always been the strengths for their team. Mm-hmm. And even though they often lack skill position players, if you can have that, you can scare some teams and beat some teams. So I don't think the Georgia game was as fluky as I originally thought. I don't think Georgia is just bad.
No, not that you beat them.
Georgia not being as good and being more flawed than we thought, and Kentucky being better than we thought.
Wow. Yeah,
Kentucky weird loss to South Carolina, but they showed against Georgia that they're legitimate. The SEC is just legitimate. Even Vanderbilt almost beating Missouri 2 weeks ago, taking Missouri to overtime. It's like no easy games except Mississippi State, I think.
They're down bad.
The thing with the SEC this year especially, it's like every team has a really good defensive line, and that's just going to lead to some upsets and weird games. I know we play South Carolina this coming up week, and it's one of those things like, okay, they also have a great defensive line. We have to be careful.
I think you'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. Then,
I think you'll be fine. Any other games?
Real quick.
Yeah, Steve, go for it.
Yeah, I got two more, and I'll actually, one of them will lead into a fun one.
Ooh.
So Washington State, Boise State. Boise State killing Washington State's hopes and dreams of a playoff bid, I think, here.
Oh, for sure.
By beating the Cougars. And then Fresno UNLV. UNLV just womped on. I think it was 47-3. No QB, no problem for UNLV. Haj Malik Williams.
How about
the
that?
The backup.
How about that?
Who needs
that NIL? NIL situation is, like, that situation in general is so wild because, like, from what we can tell, he was promised money. He didn't get the money, so he said, nope, I'm out. He's trying to save his eligibility. You know, in an era of college football, like 10 years ago, I would have been really mad and called this person a quitter and hated on him. But, like, given the current landscape of college football, I kind of get it.
I'm still hating.
I kind of get it, but yeah. If it's a verbal offer, then it's nothing. You got to get it in writing. Well, I hope these kids learn.
I hope he learned his lesson at the very least.
I mean,
yeah, I hope a lot of kids watched and said, okay, I got to, you know, make sure I actually have writing.
If and when, I mean, I feel like eventually we're just going to get to the point where we're just like paying players directly. And, like, signing contracts and whatnot. And, you know, presumably at that point, this won't happen again. But I think this is just, like, an awkward transitionary period to that at this point.
We are in an awkward transitory period, and I think that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen eventually. I actually mentioned this on College Game Day, that they're doing some kind of Supreme Court thing where basically colleges will be allowed to directly pay players starting in 2025, 2026?
Yeah.
Something like that. And I think that would actually probably be the best way to go about it is they're still students and they're still student athletes, but they're like also student employees in a sense. Yeah, like, yeah. You know how like you worked like at the dorm entrance or whatever or something?
Yeah, I was at the Donegal.
Basically, the football players are that, except they get a much higher salary.
But they're millionaires. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of fun. Just wild.
Speaking of last week's games, so you know we got to do our favorite award to give out, which was this was their Super Bowl award. Jimbo?
Yeah, Randy. I think I've given it to you. This was Alabama's Super Bowl, and I get that like the national championship will be your real one, but like this was like the clear, okay, we're not taking a step back. If anything, we're taking a step forward. Again, I seriously went to bed at halftime, but that first half of Alabama. I honestly don't know if I've ever seen a better team than that first half Alabama versus Georgia. I'm talking college, I'm talking NFL, I'm talking any sport, period. That was the most dominant kick-ass performance I've ever seen. So, Randy, congrats on feeling that feeling I will never feel.
You'll get it one day. I will say that is... probably, definitely, actually, the best performance I've ever seen us put on, just because of who the opponent was in the situation.
Electric.
Like if Milroe looks like that the rest of the year, we're not getting him for another year. He's going to the NFL.
He's doing that.
And
regardless.
You actually mentioned this. Yeah. You mentioned this. Okay, I actually remember hearing something from the postgame presser from Kalen DeBoer. Watching the Wisconsin game, you were like, this dude is the best quarterback I've ever seen. And I thought you were just doing your typical kind of... you know, Bloomer versus Doomer contrast Jeff Van Hyde that you like to do. But Kalen DeBoer specifically mentioned there were a lot of things they had confidence in him for taking the step forward because of specific things they saw in the Wisconsin game.
So you're welcome, Randy. You're welcome for us being...
So you were right.
Yep.
You are like, I know like I like to give you some crap sometimes about your like kind of hyper extreme takes, but a lot of times they end up being right.
What can I say? So there's my award. Who do you got, Randy?
I'm going to give it to Texas A&M. They are now 4-1, and I'm just noticing that Texas A&M fans were a little too excited to be this kind of mediocre Arkansas team. They were way too happy about that and talking a little too much.
Really?
It's like, dude, y'all are not going to have a great
Arkansas.
Season.
It's Arkansas.
They're the ones who operate the roller coaster. They like complain
You're
about
right.
the Aggie roller coaster.
You're right.
But then they're the ones who like get on it and cause it to go uphill.
Oh my God.
Set themselves up for this.
They do. Steve, who do you got?
I gotta give mine to UNLV. That was after just a little adversity coming out, actually winning a game. They ranked for the first time ever in the AP poll now, number 25.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So
congratulations.
Gotta watch them and Boise in 3 weeks.
G5 game of the year.
Friday night, 10:15 Eastern.
Dang.
There are a couple of other topics I wanted to bring up in direct relation to this game. And is with one of them, who do we have a clear idea of who we really think is going to be the group of five representative for the playoffs at this point?
Dude, I have got no clue.
The winner of that or James Madison.
Yeah, it feels like the field is so wide between conferences even, because it's not just the Mountain West, right? Like, you've got James Madison in the mix.
Yeah, they're the Sun Belt. The MAC will cannibalize itself. You don't got to worry. Conference USA, after Liberty got their game canceled, I can't see 11-0 Liberty beating out even 12-1 Boise or 13-0 UNLV. Definitely not.
And that's the thing. This is like every week we hear about a team that we were not thinking about previously. Like, nobody was thinking about UNLV as a possible representative a week ago. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, we didn't even mention the American Conference. Is it Memphis?
How's Memphis doing?
Maybe.
They beat Florida State, but I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they lost to Navy. Army and Navy.
Which Army and Navy undefeated. Dude, I was watching Army last weekend.
Hey.
Guys, they're good.
They deleted Temple. Oh,
they're good.
God.
They're like actually pretty good.
Oh, how cool would it be to see Army in the playoffs, though?
That'd be American.
You know, it's really funny. The week before Army-Navy is the American Conference Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Army and Navy are in the American.
Oh, my God.
They could play the Conference Championship game and then the next week just play Army-Navy.
Dude.
That would be actually really funny and really... That'd be so patriotic, dude.
I would, yeah. Holy cow. God willing.
I also wanted to make a point, though, about the new Pac-12. Can I just say...
Please.
We've talked privately about our opinions on the Oregon State and Washington State situation.
Yes, we have.
I think it's time to maybe share them a little bit more publicly this time. So I'm just going to point this out and then let the floor be y'all's.
Please.
That Oregon State and Washington State fans spent the entire offseason talking about how unfair it was that they got left out, how unfair it was all these teams took this paycheck, this and that. But then look at what happened. They just gutted the Mountain West, and now two teams from the Mountain West, from the old Mountain West, are just stuck.
Yep.
You know, pretty screwed in their exact same position, and they don't seem to feel bad about it.
Nope. Randy, I could not agree more. It's not going to, like, it's a trickle-down effect, right? Like, it's just going to keep happening to more and more conferences as these teams realign. So, like,
yeah, just today we got Mountain West got UTEP from Conference USA.
Yeah.
And so they're back up to 8, but that's only 8.
Like, what's going to happen to Conference USA? What happens to them now? Because, like, they got a spot to fill, right? It's just like...
Delaware next year.
Guess.
And then I think the year after they're getting Missouri State.
Man.
It's messy.
Every year.
And now we have Sacramento State trying to get into the Pac-12.
The Sac-12.
Still only has 7. So they need one more. And there's no way you can pick up from FCS and try to say we're a power.
Well, they're trying. They got the money for it, I guess. But like
I think the new pack is at least going to be an entertaining and geographically sound conference. Like, it's going to make sense because you're going to have, Boise, Utah State.
Yeah.
Washington State.
San Diego.
Like a very Pacific Northwestern kind of mountainous
Like the Pac-12 was, yeah. But, like, is anyone going to take it seriously? Like, is anyone going to really consider the Pac-12 to be, like, P5 again? You know?
No, but it's going to be better I think, slightly more respected than a group of five, if that makes sense. But okay, you know how in college basketball, we don't have five in group of five.
They're a mid-major.
It's not going to be, we're going to have three tiers of conferences instead of two. Instead of power five, group of five is going to be, what is it, power, is it power conference, mid-tier, mid-conference, and whatever the third one is. I don't even know if they have a name for it.
Independence. Not be able to low major, right?
Yeah. I'll take them seriously in basketball since they're getting Gonzaga.
Oh, that's another thing. How is the Gonzaga? Dang it, dude. Seriously, every day that I forget that this is even happening. Like, I'm at the point now where I saw the news today about UTEP, and I'm like, I'm not even processing it anymore. Like, I'm serious. Like, it happens so often, I literally don't even know what's happening. God damn. Does anyone feel that way?
Very true. We're all this quick these days. So I also have another quick segment I wanted to do.
Please.
We're now moving on from the September Heisman to the October Heisman. Who are y'all's October Heisman favorites? Like, who do you think is going to win it, and who do you want to see win it?
Yeah,
I want Ashton Giante.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Go ahead.
Go for it. Tell us why.
Sounds fine.
He's the best running back in the country. I mean, is there a quarterback that – I know it's a quarterback award.
Look at the stats.
But is there a quarterback? Are we really going to say Cam Ward right now?
Not after last week, sadly.
Nah, I mean
– Yeah, I just got to say it. I'm going to go full homer on this one.
Yeah, we know it's Jalen Milroe. We know he's going to win it, Randy.
After what he did, how he embarrassed Georgia like that. Okay, think about it. The Heisman is all about having that moment.
And he had the cool moment.
Better Heisman moment is there than what he just did to Georgia, where everybody turned – y'all literally turned the game off at halftime because it was such a blowout. Do that to Georgia. And that, you know how the media loves Georgia.
We know. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, like, I don't know if anyone's going to really realistically challenge Jalen Milroe, barring some, like, injury. Like, not to get dark, but, like, that's the only thing I could think of that would, like, have him.
They probably have to lose two games.
Yeah, and that's not happening after, I mean, come on.
Do you guys not think Travis Hunter has any chance playing two positions?
He'll get an invite because the media loves him, but no. No, it's, come on.
Yeah, the top three that get an invite, it'll be Milroe, Hunter, Giante.
I could see that.
It's going to be Milroe.
Yeah. I agree with Giante, though. Hey, listen, I had no idea, dude. He's averaging 10 yards a carry this season.
He is a great running back. Hell? One of the best I've ever seen.
That's wild.
Yeah, his worst game was the FCS game because they pulled him out at halftime.
There you go, man. And, I mean, honestly, for what it's worth with Boise, it's like they very well might be in the playoffs. So, like, there's potential, but, like, man, again, after Milroe, it's just, he's not, yeah. It's his award to lose at this point.
At least I admit that I'm just going full homer, right? I don't pretend to be unbiased.
We know, right? We know, Randy.
Okay, so moving on to next week's games. There is actually, I know there's a Friday game I really want to talk about.
Let's talk about it.
Full schedule.
Let's talk about it.
Okay, let's go ahead. Friday 9 at 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. We have 3-1 Syracuse at 4-0, ranked for the first time in program history, number 25 UNLV. How important is this game for UNLV's potential playoff hopes?
Come on.
How likely do you think
this is very important?
This is the
if you can beat Syracuse,
yeah,
then maybe you can beat Boise and just actually take the conference.
And it's a P5 opponent, or P4, right? It's like these really matter in the eyes of the committee. Like how well you do against, you know, power opponents.
How good or bad is Syracuse, though? That's the problem.
They're kind of legitimate. I mean, they lost on a last-second field goal to Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the ACC. I don't trust any ACC team to actually be good.
Yeah. Syracuse, they're like a 7-5 team to me. You know, like, eh. What matters is how UNLV looks. Like, does UNLV look like they can compete with, like, a power roster? Which Syracuse at least has compared to, you know, your average.
They do have four power teams on their schedule. I mean, they played at Houston, at Kansas, they play Syracuse, and they're going to play at Oregon State. And they're going to play Boise State, which is probably better than all of those power teams anyway.
Yeah. If they went out, yeah, they're in.
I guess my hang up is I feel like it's odd to be like, look at this Syracuse matchup to see how legit they are. Like I don't want to judge them on a baby standard. I want them to actually be super legit.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's tough. I mean, they, you know, schedules are like that. Like they're playing power teams, it's just that most of them are bad. It's hard to, you know, hard to plan
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they
I
schedule
guess.
These so far in advance.
Yeah.
For me, when it comes to the group of five teams and like whether or not they're like legit and deserve that playoff spot, I know personally if I was in the committee, the way I would look at it is it's not necessarily about avoiding losing to like some above average other group of five teams. Mm-hmm. But if you can schedule one or two good power five teams, and I know, like you said, that could be luck of the draw sometimes.
Yeah.
If you can schedule those and win and like show you can compete with actual top more higher level competition, that's going yep. to matter to me.
That's
why I really like Boise in this spot, because they went wire to wire with Oregon and right. almost won the game.
Yeah, for sure. And Oregon, we clowned on Oregon at the beginning of the year, but Oregon is probably legit. They're probably a top 10 team. So
yeah, we'll see soon whenever they play Ohio State.
True.
2 weeks.
That's gonna be a good game. Oh man. Other games, should we just go down the list, boys, like chronologically here? What games kind of stand out to you?
There are actually a lot of really good games this week that's going to really help clear up the picture for some of these conference races, playoff race, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I know at 11 a.m. we have No. 9 undefeated Fordham, Missouri at 4-1 Texas A&M. All right, so how many points do you think Missouri is going to embarrass Texas A&M by?
I'm going 21.
I think it might be close. I know Mizzou had a bye this past week, but man, you need overtime at home to beat Vanderbilt. I can't take you too seriously.
But it's A&M.
You're going into Kyle Field. I know it's Texas A&M. I know.
And it's October. It's October now. So like there, it's the you know, the roller coaster. This is the time of year where they kind of fall off the tracks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll take Mizzou by 10.
Ready?
I think Mizzou by 10 is a good score because, I mean, it's going to be one of those kind of grinded out, nasty kind of games. But mm-hmm. I just feel like this is going to be the perfect game to, like, just go in the game thread afterwards and watch Texas A&M fans melt down.
Yes.
So that's why I keep an eye on it.
Yes.
Also at 11 o'clock, we have 4-1 undefeated in conference, SMU. At 3-1, also undefeated in conference, Louisville, because the Notre Dame game did not actually count as a conference game.
Wow. I forget that SMU is in the ACC. Is this like the ACC championship preview? Like, what is this?
Maybe. We'll see. I mean, that's Clemson, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
If like, we're just waiting for Miami to blow it. Yeah. We're just waiting for that,
this
right?
Point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like SMU.
I like
SMU. I could see them.
Thing is, I wasn't able to watch the Notre Dame game. Like, was anyone able to watch Louisville play Notre Dame this last weekend?
No.
So no one knows how legit Louisville is. Really, is what I'm hearing.
Louisville is never legit.
They're not bad, but they're also not great either. I really like SMU because they actually have like a lot of talent given their position. They are a legitimate power conference team, and their schedule sets up very favorably. You have to remember their one loss is against that BYU team by 3, who is turning out to be very good. Very, very, very good.
True.
If they can beat Louisville, if SMU can beat Louisville, then there is a good chance they can run the table the rest of the way at the SEC championship game.
How big is the nightmare in the ACC office if SMU makes the title game?
They're the reason Florida State wanted to leave because they thought they were above them.
Oh, my God. That's rich.
I don't think it's a nightmare. They're probably happy they added them at that point.
Well, I guess, but yeah, it's still a weird look. I mean, it's SMU, for God's sakes. Like, the fact that a G5 team can move over in the first year, you know, do this, kind of wild.
Yeah, it's not like if Texas wins the SEC this year, it's like, okay, it's Texas. They went to the playoff.
Right.
They're a legitimate team. Okay, fine.
Tough.
All right. A 2:30 game I wanted to ask the resident Big Ten fan.
I was waiting for this one. Let's go.
3-1 Iowa at undefeated Ohio State. That's right. This going to be one of those random Iowa games where they just destroy Ohio State for no reason?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't think Iowa destroys them, but I think Iowa could actually win this game. And there's one reason for this, okay? Ohio State's quarterback, Will Howard, is not good.
He is not.
Is that safe to say? He's not a good quarterback.
I haven't watched any of him to know what's going on or to know.
And so,
like, I don't know what he looks like.
The thing is, like,
what does he look like? What's wrong with
him? He's a Kansas State quarterback. He was a transfer guy and, like, he didn't develop under Ohio State. And, like, the thing is, Ohio State's winning these games by a lot, but they played Akron and Western Michigan
Marshall
and Michigan. Like, just bad teams. And I'm not saying Iowa's good. Make no mistake, Iowa's not good, but, like, their defense is pretty legit, you know? And I think it's going to test Will Howard.
If they can cover those receivers.
Yeah. Will Howard's going to I think Iowa, even if they don't win, I think at a minimum this is a close game. This is not going to be a blowout like Vegas predicts.
All right. Well, for another 2:30 game, I have Randy's lock of the week. We have 4-1, number 12, Ole Miss at 3-1, South Carolina.
Oh my.
My lock of the week is South Carolina wins this game.
Justify yourself.
Lane has seemed very distracted lately. So, like, every now and then, Lane Kiffin will love to start some Twitter feud with another coach or some media yeah. person or somebody.
Yeah.
And it's a very – he seems distracted.
I can see that.
Based on him doing that. And South Carolina is very quietly 3-1. Went to the wire with LSU and needed the refs kind of needed them to bail them out.
Right.
They destroyed Kentucky, who we're now seeing is actually very good, decent. They also beat Old Dominion, who is a respectable group of five team. And they know they're gearing up for the Alabama game as well. And they have a really good defensive line. And they're a quietly really good team. And I think they're just better than Ole Miss.
The thing I kind of disagree with, though, is Ole Miss. I feel like every year they're due for at least one game where their offense just, like, stalls out. And they clearly had that last week. I don't know. I could see Ole Miss kind of having a comeback this weekend against South Carolina.
Yeah, it's either they get right or the wheels fall off.
No in between. Yeah.
Yeah.
The wheels can fall off, but then they, like, put it back on midseason. It's weird.
It is weird. They're a weird team.
If you remember, South Carolina started out, I think it was 1-2 last year, and then they ended up having a pretty decent season. I think it was like 8 or 9 wins or something like that, and
right.
went to a good bowl game. Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yeah, classic. One other 2:30 game in the SEC we need to talk about, Randy. Georgia versus Auburn. I mean, Georgia's going to be mad, right? Like, this should be a slaughtering.
Could we...
It's going to be
UGA
a slaughter.
By 100?
It's going to be a slaughter because I think, I don't know how much, I don't want to say that because you don't know how much Auburn has, like, we saw them develop some semblance of figuring some things out versus Oklahoma. It just didn't work out in the end and they had a bad game losing turnover. But they actually did manage to figure some things out versus Oklahoma. And they could give some problems to Georgia. Don't underestimate them.
Okay.
And I know it's one of those, like, get back murder ball games.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Georgia did that last year against Florida State. We remember what happened. So, I don't know, man. This could get ugly.
All right. We also have undefeated number 23, 5-0 Indiana versus, or they're at Northwestern, who is 2-2. Does Windiana keep it going?
Yes, oh, yeah. Sadly. They've played no one!
They're in the fake stadium. No Northwestern fans will be there.
Dude, oh my god. I'm mad because, like, if Wisconsin had Indiana's schedule, we too would be 5-0, you know, despite being a crappy team. It's just so soft, dude. I can't believe that they have this easy of a schedule in the new Big Ten. So, yeah. Indiana wins.
We also
Good for their QB, though. As somebody who's near Ohio U, good for Curtis Rourke. They that family did OU multiple QBs through there. good for that. Good for him. He gets to get out of the MAC.
Did he transfer? I'm out of the loop on this. What's the story?
Yeah, get Indiana to a
bowl game. Yeah, from Ohio U. I think he was like, God, he might have been a 3 or 4 year starter there.
Crazy.
And yeah, crazy. But yeah, Kurt Cignetti from out of JMU, showing sometimes you can get a G5 guy and maybe do something. Yeah, 6 wins at Indiana, build the statue.
Build the statue.
We also have another surprisingly undefeated, should be ranked Big Ten team. At 3 o'clock, we have undefeated 4-0 Rutgers at 4-1 Nebraska. So, who wins this one?
It's tough. It's tough because, like, in a weird, it's odd how both Rutgers and Nebraska are both kind of good, but not really. You know what I mean? And to me, they're about even as far as kind of goodness goes.
This game's going to come down to special teams. Mm. How much does Nebraska need their kicker? Because, my God, I watched that Illinois game. He is bad.
Bad. Not good.
Not good at all. At 3 o'clock, we have another very special game. Ooh, it's time.
It's time.
I'm going to give you the 4 for this one. We have 2-2 West Virginia, undefeated in the Big 12. At 3-2 Oklahoma State, who is 0-2 in the Big 12.
Okay, I got some things to say here. So, West Virginia. First off, my lock of the week. West Virginia is winning by 2 touchdowns.
Boom!
Boom.
Now, what I'll say, our pass defense is not good, but our D-line is pretty good. Our D-lineman, TJ Jackson, I think he's top 5 in the country in pressures. Transfer from Troy. The back end sucks, but it's Alan Bowman. Get a job, bro.
Get a job.
Is he a 19 senior?
His first game against West Virginia, he was at Texas Tech. The year was 2018. The other QB for West Virginia that game was Will Greer.
Oh my God.
Let Pat White
sink in. And he's just not good. And our run defense has generally been pretty solid. Ollie Gordon has been pretty quiet this year.
Yes.
Call me crazy, but I think Garrett Green and the old Golden Blue, I think they get it done.
The old Golden Blue, let's go!
Dude, if you're a 6th-year senior quarterback and you're just still not very good, just go get a job, bro.
It's actually his 7th year.
Work at freaking State Farm.
Yeah. I respect the hustle. Get the free education to get a master's or something, but God.
We're not doing that.
You know, make me watch you play quarterback. Oh.
It's Oklahoma State. Yeah, that's rough.
I was going to ask what the fan base's general vibe is for Neil Brown.
So the two losses are to Penn State and to Pitt. And buddy, we blew that Pitt game. I was ready to fire Neil Brown immediately. Like, leave him at Heinz Field.
Tarmac him.
We had one game to get right. We're feeling tepid. Hmm. The Trust the Climb Emporium is still closed. We checked the lights still work. But closed indefinitely. We need to see our schedule this month is insane. We have Oklahoma State this week on the road. We have Iowa State at home. Then we have Kansas State at home. And then we have at Arizona. If you can go 3-1 in that stretch, West Virginia is going to be feeling pretty good. Because then we'll be 5-3, and then the last bit is Cincinnati, Houston, UCF's a real game, and then Texas Tech, which, yeah, we'll see. But you've got a couple easy wins there. Houston and Cincinnati are not actually good teams.
So then
we can at least get to 7-5, 8-4, and feel okay.
I'm going to be honest. I feel like you guys deserve better than that. Like, you have had some really decent years. You're one of the winningest programs to not win a national championship.
Oh, number one. The winningest.
Are we the
winning? Oh, I thought that was Virginia Tech. Okay. I didn't realize you were the literal winningest without a championship.
Like, do you know the top, like, three or, like, where's Wisconsin? I know Wisconsin's got to be near that.
Wisconsin might be third.
God, dude. It's tough out here.
But that's what I'm saying. You deserve better than to settle for a 7-5 coach. And just after 6 years of seeing him, I just don't think he doesn't have the good factor.
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. At least if he was like recruiting at a super top level, you could say, okay, we just need to let him figure out the game part. But he's not recruiting that well. That's kind of what
he's recruiting okay.
Like, you need to do a little better.
It's not like bad recruiting, but it's not great.
You got to take advantage. Find somebody who's willing to try to take advantage of the new kind of systems in place.
Dude, yeah, West Virginia has way too good of...
You guys have a fan base. You guys are willing to shell out NIL money.
You guys have way too good of uniforms.
We've got the trust.
The trust. Trust the climb.
We got the Country Roads Trust. We're in on NIL. We actually fired our AD because he was not in on it. So
looking this up, Country Roads Trust. Let me see if I can donate.
Wait, why was he not in on NIL? That's stupid.
Oh man, he was a compliance guy. Shane Lyons. Yeah, he's like, nah, I gotta be real, real slow on it, and it's like, nah, full speed ahead, bro.
Should I become a member? Should I take the pledge? Of the Country Roads Trust.
You can take the pledge. We sell beer. We have whiskey.
Nice.
As a Wisconsinite, that's going to appeal to his sensibilities.
Yeah, I mean, I respect, I respect that.
You have to sell NIL branded moonshine. That would be very West Virginia.
I know, yeah.
Good. All right.
Yeah, no, it's nice to have a good guy, but I don't think he's the guy.
Right.
But at least it's not sucking, and then the coach is an ass.
True, like
all like Dana
Holgerson was not bad. He could win games though.
Yeah, Neil Brown can't win games. He can not lose games.
That's accurate.
Yeah, very true. All right, moving on to the night games. We have number 15 improving 3-1 Clemson at 1-4 Florida State.
Dude,
DJ Uiagalelei is out for this game. Yes. I don't know who their new starter is going to be, but he is officially out.
Is he hurt?
He broke his finger.
What?
Does this new quarterback give Florida State some random needed spark to really get things off the ground?
Honestly,
maybe
no.
Pull this upset.
You said no, Steve, but honestly, I think DJ Poo is that bad that he might.
So the backup is Brock Glenn, who I believe started that Louisville game that they had last year.
Okay. Oh, look, guys, Google Brock Glenn. Look him up.
That's such a quarterback name. That's like
it's a name, but
quarterback
look
name.
Him up. Look him up, though. He doesn't. Nah. There's a picture of him.
He doesn't look the part. His haircut is way too early 2010s.
He looks like my haircut. That's fixed up.
He's got the Bieber haircut. That was popular when we were in high school, dude.
You know, we were just talking about how you have to look cool. This is not it. Come on.
It's not it.
Brock. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So last year, this guy went 19 for 51.
Oh, my God.
Passing.
He's a four-star quarterback? He committed to Ohio State? What
he
is
He just
kind this?
Of looks like a normal dude and not he in a good way. Like,
it's like they saw the name Brock and we're like, oh, he's a quarterback. This guy, it's Brock Glenn. Yeah, give this guy four stars.
Yeah. Louisville, he started 8 for 21, 55 yards.
God. However,
9 for 26.
Jeez. However, you have to consider this, guys. When they play this game this Saturday, it will be Brocktober.
It will. You're right about
that.
Let that
sink in. But no, Clemson's going to win by like 30.
Nah, Clemson by like 50.
Yeah.
All right. I actually had a group of five game I wanted to talk about, and that's undefeated 4-0 James Madison at 3-1 Louisiana Monroe. So the way the Sun Belt works is these two teams are actually in separate divisions for the Sun Belt. So they, I mean, they could potentially meet up again in the conference championship game. But with both of these teams setting up with favorable schedules, UL Monroe being able to play at Auburn later, which is going to give them the power conference win.
It will.
And James Madison, I believe, plays. They don't have a power team on their schedule. They did beat. No. James Madison destroyed North Carolina. That's right.
Yeah, 70-50.
Yes.
Dude. I mean, do you think this game could have any impact on the Group of Five playoff race?
Honestly?
Yes.
I say no, so, but yeah, I want to hear your justification, Steve.
Okay, call me crazy. I think we could get two G5s.
No way.
Do we trust the ACC and the Big 12 that much to have somebody actually
ranked?
That's the thing. If you have an 8-4 Big 12 conference champion, I could see both Group of Five teams jumping and being like two Group of Five conference champions jumping that 8-4 Big 12 conference champion or ACC conference champion. Yeah.
Right.
And the rankings, they get the spot.
Yeah, 13-0 James Madison, 12-1 Boise.
Yeah.
9-4 West Virginia.
Yeah, that'd be tough. Yeah. Jeez. Okay, when you put it that way, yeah. I mean, James Madison needs to win out, though. They got to win out, right? So.
Oh, yeah. They started 10-0 last year. I think we'll see. You know, new coach, but
we'll see.
I think they're a legit dark horse. We'll call it that. I think Boise and UNLV are the leaders in the clubhouse right now.
Hmm. Any other games in this night slot, Randy? Maybe like one or two final games to highlight here?
UCF at Florida. Does this create a change of the guard where people just accept that UCF's the best team in the state? Yeah. Like the best program in the state?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sun Belt Billy is not winning this game.
But, Murder Mertz, guys. Murder Mertz. People are forgetting Florida, like, destroyed Mississippi State a couple weeks ago.
And that's Mississippi State. They're,
so did Toledo.
They're bad.
All right. Yeah, we'll go UCF on this one, then.
And we also, I did want to talk about Michigan at Washington.
Okay.
Do you think Washington has any shot at pulling this game off?
You know, it's interesting, right? Because, like, Michigan's really not good. But also, like, Washington's not good either. I think at this point, it's safe to say Washington fell off, right? So I think Michigan gets the job done.
I think Washington has a get-right game after losing to Rutgers.
Mm. Is this that game?
Is USC going to be caught sleeping at Minnesota? I feel like this is one of these, like, weird games, just what I know based off Minnesota is that they will randomly win a game like this.
I'm telling you this now, and I'm being a homer, but like this is the kind of game where like Minnesota fans give Wisconsin fans so much crap for losing to USC by like 17 points, and they're gonna lose by like 40. Like it's not gonna be close. It's gonna be one of those games where USC just like runs up the score early, you know, and just like keeps pounding. I'm not worried.
I feel like you want to see that happen more than you think it's gonna happen.
I know it's good, dude. I've seen every year Minnesota does this, dude. Like, look up. Seriously, anytime Minnesota plays a ranked team, it's historic. They always do this, dude. They always do this. They get blown out. They got blown up by Ohio State last year after giving us crap. They got destroyed by Michigan last year, 52-10.
Oh yeah, I went to that.
He went to that. You saw it.
I went to that.
Brutal. So yeah, Minnesota stands no chance. Why were you at that game?
I got a free ticket, thank God.
You just kind of like went to Michigan, or what? Where were you? Was it Minnesota? Or...
I went to Minnesota, yeah.
Oh my God.
Was that in Minnesota? Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, I did that because we had a bye week before the Houston game last year. So I went to Houston after that.
Man.
And that was a Thursday game. So then on Saturday, I went to USC Notre Dame.
Just all over the place.
Yeah.
Final game. We have undefeated 5-0 Miami, still undefeated off of a last second touchdown that wasn't a touchdown and probably actually wasn't. at 3-1 Cal. Is this where Miami finally slips up?
Yeah. I think the Calgary Rhythm wins this game. I'm pretty sure.
The Calgary Rhythm.
Yeah. They get a makeup game. They get a revenge game on this one.
Yeah, 10:30 Eastern for Miami. They're gonna be sleepy.
You're right.
Halftime's gonna be at like midnight.
And Cal, that's like morning for them. So they're gonna be feeling like chipper, you know.
Oh my god. And the game day. It's
like so much travel is involved. Miami's not the type of like focused lunchpail teams that like doesn't care about the circumstances. They wanna play under the bright lights and the neon club music and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean, dude. I like Cal. I mean, they obviously lost Florida State, but like in hindsight, it was kind of just this. You know, it was a tough road game. I think this game being at Cal really plays in their favor. So I really like the Golden Bears in this one. Good stuff, boys. Any final games, or think we can wrap it up here, gentlemen?
That's all I had.
That's all we got.
That's all I have. I believe that about wraps it up.
Steve, I cannot. This has been wonderful, man. Like I, you inspire me honestly, with how much you travel throughout this country, this great country, I should add. So.
Oh yeah, I've driven to every game so far too.
Seriously.
No flights. Well, yeah. Furthest I've had to drive is to Lubbock. Now, here in a couple weeks, I will be flying to Arizona.
I'll let that slide. That's a long drive.
Yeah, I looked it up. It's 30 hours.
Oh my god. Well, have fun in Arizona for sure. I went to Arizona last year for a basketball game. We got destroyed, but the campus is quite nice. Arizona's pretty. It's warm. So enjoy that.
Oh yeah, never been out there. I'm gonna go hug a cactus.
Oh, that's fun, dude. They're fun to touch.
Good idea.
Fun stuff. Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you, Randy. And thank you, listeners, for listening, as always, to the Gym Podcast. Thank you once again, folks. Hope you all have a great weekend. And as always, Roll Tide.
I'm Wisconsin.
Let's go.